Scripture reading today will be Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. For what a great nation is there that has God so near to it, as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him. And what great nation is there that has such status and righteous judgments as are in this law which I set before you today? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, "Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my word, that you may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children."
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. A grandchild is God's reward for raising a child. That's what one man said several years ago. The lesson that I have to speak to you this morning is not in tune with, I should say in one sense, is not in line with all of the other lessons that pertain to our theme this year of an opportunity. This one has just been inserted as a request based upon the lesson we had last month about having an opportunity with your child. I had a request, had a phone call the very next day. You need to speak a lesson to grandparents. And I must tell you, the lesson that it wasn't a parent that said that, it was a grandparent. So I take heed to that. And you got to know that everyone that's in this audience this morning who is a grandparent, at some point in time, will be in touch with a grandchild. And it may be once a week, it could be two or three times a year, it could be on a daily basis. And I believe from reading what you see here in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, especially at the end of verse 9, he said, "And make them known unto thy children and thy children's children." And that's a very small word, but a very big word. It's very important to know that a grandparent is more than just photo carriers of all the cuteness and the achievements of their children or their grandchildren, and ready to, in a phone case, ready to flip them out, show them to you, and all the videos and all the things that they did over the past week or month or whatever it may be, or even yesterday. That word "and" has some very significant things to it. First of all, you got to understand that word "and" has intent to it. When he said "children and thy children's children," there's something definitely implied with an intent with this, and an intent to the point of influence. And an influence to the point of understanding that there's a vision that God had, or should, God should say a grandparent should have, in the vision of God, there's some impact upon which that grandparent has upon that grandchild. And that being said, when you look through what's stated here, that word "and" is a very, very valuable key point in the minds of the people of the people of Israel. Currently, to that generation, to those people that were definitely, as he said here, people that were to make them known. And to make them known was not that the grandchildren saw or the grandchildren knew very much of anything, or that even the children knew very much. It was what they knew was very important. What they knew had to deal with them getting out of the land of Egypt, going on the way to the land of Canaan. What they knew was what God did to the people of Egypt, to rescue them, to bring them to the point of freedom, and take them to the new land. They saw that. They heard that. They saw everything that God did up on the mountain to give them this law. That was not what maybe some of the children saw, and it definitely wasn't something the grandchildren saw. And in this, it's very important to know that this word "and" changes the role of those people of Israel to the point of the teacher to make them known. They're now responsible to be the teachers of all the many things that they saw. Definitely, there's a lot of grumbling that took place and a lot of disobedience. There was rebellion. There were people who were complaining about all kinds of things as they were traveling along. But it was more so that he's saying, I don't want them to know that, but this is something you didn't know because, or they didn't know because you, in verse 7, are a great nation. A great nation. And there's not anyone that has a God like you have. And it's a very significant point that every grandparent lets their grandchild know that the word "and" is significant in them relaying a message to the grandchildren of which they have never heard or never seen anything pertaining to God yet. And that carries a very great responsibility because there are a lot of grandparents in this room that are teachers already. They're teachers in classrooms back here. And they're teaching some four-year-olds and they're teaching some fifth graders back here. But the role that they're going to play is not just so much that they're going to give 10 or 12 hours a month and multiply that times 3 for a quarter and to make sure all those fourth graders know and all those fifth graders know something about that particular quarter and that particular subject. They're going to be teachers in other areas, specifically to their grandchildren. That's going to be more, hopefully, than maybe 10 hours a month, or maybe even more than 4 hours or 5 hours, of which maybe some vacation Bible study teachers give children. Therefore, for all of you that are grandparents out here this morning who are not teachers, you need to obtain knowledge of what God says and the things that God has revealed. That way you can teach them something that's very, very important about how God rules the world, about how God has control, how God provides blessings, how God provides a law and commands that you as a grandchild needs to observe with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Two chapters later, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, as he begins the chapter in the first 5 verses, he addresses that current generation and says, this information, these laws, these statutes, these commands, these testimonies will be for you, for your children, and for your children's children. Make them known. That word "and" is a very, very significant thing. To help you understand the responsibility as a teacher of this, it's going to be good for the next generation. And you're going to be part of the responsibility, making sure that they know this. Don't neglect that opportunity. Don't just forsake this to say, well, they'll know it in a Bible class somewhere, or their children will tell them this. Don't ever take that for granted. They may not. But now the word "and" inserts you into the equation and says, now you're given the responsibility to teach. In doing this, I think it's very important that we look to the book of Psalm chapter 78, verse 1 to verse 7, and see that the idea of being a grandparent in teaching these things to the next generation is not so much to say that the biggest responsibility you have is just in case your children don't make it to raise their grandchildren, is that you become to be the caregiver and possibly become to be the one that's the guardian if something were to happen to their parents. In the book of Psalm 78, he says to the people, in verse 2 specifically, I will open my mouth in a parable and will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, and will not hide, what's this? Will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of Jehovah. And his strength and his wondrous works that he had done. He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. He has commanded our fathers that they should make them known to the children. There's two generations in one verse.
Then, he says in verse 6, that the generation to come might know, then even the children that should be born. There's another generation. There's three. Here's the fourth one. And who should arise and tell them to their children? Four generations in two verses. That they might set their hope in God, not to forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Four generations in two verses. All pointing back to the original generation of which heard these things, knew these things, and can be teachers of these things. They're not caregivers necessarily. They're not guardians that sign all these information about the children. They've got attitudes, ways, understandings that they need to deliver to the second generation and the third generation. That's my responsibility as a grandparent. And every grandparent in this room, that's their responsibility. There is something that needs to be understood here. And that is, there are some barriers that are going to have to be overcome. With boundaries. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, you'll notice in verse 1 to verse 5 some very distressing symptoms, attitudes, behaviors among those that he describes in that text as part of the last days. Men should be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, disobedient to parents, unthankful, without natural affection, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness and having denied the power thereof. All those attitudes, all those dispositions, all those are symptomatic of what the last days will look like. And I've heard grandparents talk about the days in which their grandchildren are being raised. And it doesn't look real good out there, they might say. I'd hate to have to be raising children in this day and time. And on the things relate to how corrupt, how evil, how immoral, how difficult it would be. First of all, your children don't need to hear that. Second of all, what will you do about that? Let me just give you a few quick illustrations, true illustrations of behaviors that exist currently, among some of which you may know about. Janet, she's got a granddaughter and a military family living about 4,000 miles away in an unstable country. Jeremy and Teresa have a granddaughter with a daughter-in-law divorced from their son living with another man. Blake, he's a single dad with a small factory job in an apartment with two children, and the grandparents on the other side of the family have divorced, and each of those grandparents shower those grandchildren that live in that apartment with him with money and expensive gifts. Adam and Barbara's family are into every sport, and spiritual matters are of no significance. Daniel and Sherry, they've got a granddaughter whose name is Tiffany. She's walked away from the Lord, has become a Muslim. And on the list goes. While the barriers may exist, and these things of chapter 3 in the book of 2 Timothy, verse 1 to verse 5, are what you see going around the lives of your grandchildren, or many other grandchildren, still there is some influence that you can have. With boundaries, though. And the first one is, don't ever enable. In the book of Matthew chapter 18, Matthew 18, Jesus approached this when there were people that were coming to him and all these children were gathered around, and Jesus was even asked, well, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus brought this little child and said, verily I say unto you, except you turn and become as a little children, you shall nowise enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he said these very strong words, whosoever therefore will humble himself as a little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom, and whoso shall receive one such a little child, in my name receives me. But whoso shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it is profitable for him that have a great millstone hung about his neck, and that he should be sunk in the depth of the sea. We used to say the phrase at our house, what happens at Grammy and Papa's house stays at Grammy and Papa's house. That could be our last words. were to be that what they did would cause them to stumble. Or in other words, enable them to do the things that they shouldn't be doing. Or to maybe have created an attitude in them that was never created to start with. Don't ever enable them to do something that you know is definitely not good. You see, grandparents have the tendency to make a grandchild sick that is not sick. They will do, in many instances, do something to prevent pain and disappointment from coming to a grandchild. Don't ever let them experience the problem. And in a society in which we're living, where anything goes, according to what you've got in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 5, where all these things are happening, where in a society anything goes, definitely that's the same kind of attitude that can enter into the heart of a grandparent. Where anything goes, there's no real boundaries, there's no real things that restrict them, that just let them do whatever it is that they want to do. And we would like to be the people who would rescue them. We almost look at our endeavors possibly as one of these search and save missions. We don't want them to experience any problems, any pain. Everything should be happy. Everything should be joyful. Everything should be to their liking. Everything should be to what it is that they would like. Whatever that they would want. Whatever best suits them. We don't want them to deal with all the negative influences. We don't want them to deal with all the pressures. We don't want them to be subject to all the substance abuse that so many other grandchildren are subject to. So therefore, we're going to do what we can to rescue, probably. Or we're going to say, well, you know, those children at that age, that's what they do at that stage in life. In other words, we would like to enable them in that situation, but that's where we've got to draw the line. We can't do that. No more than we want the parent to do that for them. Second thing is, it would be very important for us to understand, and that is we got to respect parental authority, never co-parent. All things parenting, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 4, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, talks about how it is that children ought to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Do this, which is Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, do this because this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. All things parenting are addressed in what God gives this role to them, not to the grandparent. Therefore, if we've got, in our mind, as a grandparent, a time at which they should date, that doesn't matter. If we got in our mind when they're supposed to take a pacifier, when they're supposed to take the pacifier away, that doesn't matter. If we've got in our mind what TV show they should watch first, it doesn't matter. This is parental authority, who their friends are, and even the church in which they attend. And I must say, as hard as it would be to watch that happen, when it comes down to who's raising the child, God answers the question pretty plain, pretty simply. Therefore, what is it that we're to do? Respect the parents' authority. Just like you as a parent wanted someone to respect your authority and not have the grandparents be co-parenting with you. In other words, you can become to be the support, the ally. You can be the one that helps your grandchild's parent become to be the best parent they can be. Not necessarily giving all your advice. Give encouraging words. Give supporting truth. Give the scripture to them. Well, how are you going to do that? One of the greatest things about what a grandparent can do is to make sure that your house has the authority and the direction from God, just like you hope that it would be for the house of which your grandparents live. Do you think that when they come to your place, that for some reason the authority is absent? Do you think that therefore now all the limitations, all the things that pertain to spiritual guidance is just all gone out the window? And therefore, that little boy, he's the king for the day or the weekend or whatever. And that little girl, well, she's the queen as long as she's here visiting me. And as a result, she's the one that makes the selection. She's the one that does the arguing. She's the one that throws a tantrum. She does everything, and she can make all the choices. And we go by what she says, and we go by what he wants done. Do you think all the boundaries just escape? That they go out the window? And some of your grandparents are looking at me like, man, you must be hard-nosed. You've got to be hard as a grandparent. If there's limitations, if there's boundaries, if there are certain things about the spiritual well-being of your children that you wanted to make sure they knew, what would it be like to have your grandchildren in your house that you could teach them the same thing about hospitality, about serving, about kindness, about love, about knowledge, about all the things that Scripture talks about that you try to get your children to understand? For all those things that you now have the opportunity, and you can set the authority and the direction from God right there, and you make sure that they know the same thing that you're trying to teach your child when they were being raised. And the thing about it is, you're not now exercising a boundary because their parents don't exercise any. These boundaries are established because this is your house. And according to what Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15, as for me and my house, we'll serve Jehovah. And that's what we're going to do here. And these attitudes that present itself right here in this house that will be observed by everybody, grandchildren included, for however long they stay, if it's an hour or if it's for a week. If we refuse to do that, what do you think is going to happen? The same thing would happen if a parent neglects what they should do with their child. Foolishness is what they have. Proverbs chapter 29 talks about in verse 15 to verse 17, foolishness in the heart of the child has got to be driven out. And we as grandparents can establish an environment where the boundaries are already there and the foolishness will not take place. There are certain attitudes that will not be tolerated, and there are certain attitudes that will love and will rejoice and will bless us and will also be something we will commend. But we respect the parental authority. And then our opportunity with our grandchildren is to show love, never bite. It will behoove all of us as grandparents to go over here and read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and read over and over again the attitudes, the dispositions, the expressions, the illustrations of love. And the first three might be worth considering as it applies to grandparenting. If you do all these wonderful things but do not have love, it's just like a clanging cymbal. Verse 2, if you got the gift of prophecy, you got this gift, or in the grandparents' case, you give a gift, then what good is it if it doesn't have love? If I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, have not love, it profits me nothing. Then he begins this list in verse 4 to verse 8. It says this is what love is all about. It defines it. It gives all these big, very minute details of it. So therefore, when it comes to the Christmas list that you probably get from your grandchild, do you think it's really of a necessity that you buy everything that's on that list? Or are there some things that probably don't need to be bought? Do you think that every wish list is something that has to be bought? Or do you put something on the list that you think your grandchild needs at their age? And you become to be the fun factory. You know, you're the one that buys all these things. Do you think that it's very much of a necessity that you make sure you got those sour gummy worms in your cabinet every time they walk in the door? Or that they need this? They need love. What would an encouraging word of love do? What would patience mean to them? What would rejoicing in the truth versus rejoicing in error mean to the heart of your child? What would it mean just to hug that child? No money changing hands.
No gifts given out, just the love. Because the greatest of these, in verse 13, is love. That's going to be the greatest gift. It's going to be in that love. If we're going to be the people who will not understand this, and we're so busy to make sure that we fall in the same cultural pattern as all grandparents, to open up the wallets and open up the purses, then it becomes to be something that we are the ones who in some cases establish the sluggard. It creates a sluggard. The book of Proverbs 13 verse 4 says, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. And if we're the one that creates, has some influences on creating the sluggard, then everything to them means possessions. Everything to them means things, rather than responsibility, like the book of 2 Thessalonians 3 talks about in verse 7, verse 10, that we're working to achieve what we've got. It's not that you absent every gift that you could possibly give. There's definitely some things to be given along the way. Should it be everything? If they can't afford it, you're going to be the one to get it for them. If somebody else has it and they even mention it, you're the first one that gets it for them. And as time goes on, you become to be the one that they take for granted. Because you're the bank. You don't have to go down and see Don Blumber. You're the bank. You're the one that opens up the purses. You're the one that opens up the wallets. You're the one that gives them whatever it is they need. All they got to do is just say a word. Make a wish. Think about it. State it. I think there's definitely something to be said for one of the ways that we can overcome the barriers and set the boundaries is when there's nothing else that you can do but pray. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much in its working. And that's a blessing of every grandparent. Communicating with a grandchild is one of the greatest things that every grandparent could have. It's amazing to me to see a grandparent communicate with a grandchild that can't even say a word. I mean, little. We're talking 3 months. We're talking 6 months. Maybe smile, maybe coo or laugh or something like that, but that's about the only communication you get. And you just talk away as if they're absorbing every single word that you're speaking. And there comes a point where some of the best communication that you can give regarding your grandchild is not the words you speak to them, but the words that you speak to God. Not every grandparent has an opportunity to be with their grandchild all the time. And even in the process of which your child may not pray for their child, which is your grandchild, you have the opportunity to make sure that you have a great spiritual investment in the prayer that you can offer to God for them. In your absence from them, you can pray. One of the greatest blessings that has ever crossed our hearts for our grandchildren is prayer. Diane, I love to pray for them and about them. I don't know what God's going to do in their life through what I pray. And it may be that he's going to work in a way of which will answer my prayer. And he very well may work in ways that I don't know that would be good for them. I just pray for the good that he can do in them. Where I cannot be there in person, I can in spirit be there where God is in control of them. And know what's going on with them. That word "and" that I mentioned to you earlier in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, we're going to talk a little bit more about that word "and" next week as well. Usually with all these other lessons that I've done on opportunities, I've only done it one time, just one lesson. This one, we got more to talk about. We got some more and to do. For a grandparent, though, I think it's very important to know that one of the greatest opportunities you have with your grandchild is to make sure that you have established in your heart and your life opportunities with God. If those people in the days of Israel did not bring about opportunities with God in their life, then what value would they be as they journeyed into the land of Canaan and became a leader? What good would it be if they didn't know who God was? If they didn't have the opportunity with God in their life, what value was it going to be to that next generation or the third generation? They would have lost all track of who God wanted them to be. It may be time for us as grandparents to repent of the neglect of which we have failed our grandchildren and ask God to help us be better in the influence that we have and like with our child. It's not that we try to make up time for what we lost with our own children. It's that we do what we can for our grandchildren while we have opportunities to lead them in the path of righteousness. We've got to be courageous. We've got to be strong. Because we are going to leave a legacy. For those of you that are with us this morning who are not Christians, I behoove you, I beg you to be a Christian. Repent of your sins and confess in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized in the water. You being a child of God is a great thing. And you, through that opportunity, can teach others of the next generation. That paves the way for the future generations to love the same God that you love. Just like it was with the people of Israel. Just do what's right while together we sing this song.